So you were cubicle mates to our roommate, Jack Burke, at Aon Insurance, one of the just a funny company to say out loud. And yeah, we met you through Jack and Aon, and then we ended up having your boss on the podcast because he wanted to start a podcast, Ross Heyman, great guy. But that's literally how this all kind of started. And then now here we are 3 years later. And you got a story to tell. So it's just pretty freaking cool.
I know. Is that insane? I vividly remember being at your house, listening to the podcast and thinking like, one day I want to do something like this. And now things are changing. I might be there one day soon.
Yes. I could definitely see you having a podcast. I think that would draw a ton of listenership because you have quite the following now, and that's something we can tap into. I got a shout out one more time, Jack Baby, the influencer, for connecting us all. I mean, we're truly indebted to Mr. Burke and really the whole Aon Corporation.
Hey, everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. Yes. So I got to ask just a few corporate questions while we're on the topic of working in the insurance industry. Because I know you ended up leaving Aon, but you ended up joining another insurance company or agency, I should say. But like, what was it like being in a cubicle next to Jack Burke? Was he causing a lot of problems? Like, was there any outlandish days that you would remember? Like, fill us in.
Sitting next to Jack was an experience.
Interesting.
You never knew what you're going to get. Some days he was super quiet. Some days he was a little rowdy. No, but Jack was an awesome cubemate. But he was so funny because he would just be so quiet all day. And then all of a sudden just speak and say the craziest thing. And I was like, where did that come from? But I miss Jack. Those were good days.
Do you miss being in a cubicle?
No, not at all. Well, actually, I miss being able to talk to people in person, like easily just get up and like, or turn and talk. But I don't miss like being crowded in that space.
Right. Yeah. I don't necessarily miss the, well, I guess I've never really been in a cubicle, but I don't necessarily think like when people are always all nervous about like if anybody would ever come back to work, it's like, I think, or if they didn't want to work remote or something. And I think there is a case to be said about that. Like, I think it's fun to show up in a work environment where you get to be around other people who are working. Like, I don't think that was ever a non-productive thing, but then when they forced you into doing things or meetings or, you know, there's a lot of nuances that went along with it that were very inconvenient and unproductive, that, you know, this whole work from home and work remotely thing kind of showed, you know?
Oh yeah. I completely agree. Like, I miss going back to the office, and I look forward to it from like making a friend standpoint, like seeing people, going to happy hour, making friends and collaborating. But I do love the flexibility of being able to like quick throw your clothes in the laundry or do the dishes or like run to Target over lunch to grab something. So as long as it's not like forced, like 5 days a week, I'll be fine. Like, I can do 2 days a week, but nothing more.
Yeah, it's like a nice hybrid now. And it's really cool to see how companies have transitioned to making it happen. Where you can work from home and also come into the office. I work for a smaller company, just started a new job last week.
Oh, new job, dude.
Mm-hmm. It's a similar industry, but startup wise. I work in the digital ad agency world, e-commerce specifically.
Okay.
And the company started in Minneapolis. It's called Active. But now there's 4 employees that work here in Minneapolis and 3 go into the office. And then the other 4 are remote. And all of the processes and everything instilled inside the company has the flexibility to be remote, but you have the option to go into the office, which is really neat.
Okay. So will you go in, or are you going to work remote?
I go in because I'm trying to like catch up to speed and understand like what the company culture is. And also it's really nice to be interacting with people. It's actually at a WeWork. So I get to have like that entrepreneurial energy around me a ton. And inside, this is actually a really cool setup. So inside the WeWork, there's another office that we work in, and it's called the Secret Headquarters. And there's like
recording in progress.
At a Bodecky. You're good. I will consent to the recording.
I did too.
Yep. And then inside the WeWork, it's the secret headquarters where there's 8 to 12 office spaces, and we occupy 3 of them, and the other, I think, 6 are filled with other people doing like high energy entrepreneurial things. So the environment is crazy. I get there at 8 and stay there till like 6:30 because everyone's just moving and going. It's super inspiring.
Being around entrepreneurs is like the coolest experience, and being around people with that type of brain, like I thrive. Like I do really well with people like that who just think differently than just like your traditional corporate people. No shade to those people either, because I work with those people every day. But
right, we're not throwing shade. We're not a negative podcast. We're an energy podcast. We provide a lot of positive energy.
Yeah, but, positive vibes only.
Positive vibes only, but there's a lot of truth to what you said. You know, corporate life kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Corporate life is a bit of pain in our side at sometimes, but it's also it's fun to learn from. That's for sure. Like, I got this boss at work, and he is, you know, very much like a drill sergeant. And he just told me blatantly one day, he goes, "Declan, you got to find what you love to do, and you've got to figure out what you hate doing so you can do a little bit more of what you love, so that when you have kids and you can't do anything else in your life, you're at least doing something that you like." And I was like, "Damn, Jim, that's a bit abysmal, but you got a good point there. I got to make sure I lock that in." So
powerful.
Powerful, right? Exactly. But speaking of like doing what you love, I actually really want to tap into what you're kind of doing on the side outside of your day job, especially on TikTok, especially on Instagram, YouTube as well. And Andrew and I will kind of describe what we saw from the sidelines, having, you know, followed you for the last couple of years, getting to know you. Obviously, you were a fly on the wall for a podcast of ours from, I got to imagine Ross Heyman was somewhere in the episode 100 area. I can't remember
off now.
You're episode 324.
Oh my God. Congrats. That's insane.
Yeah. Congrats to you, dude. You made it.
I know. Thank you.
So you started a TikTok at some point, and I feel like you blew up, or we saw you when you did a review of like Bryce Hall or Josh Richards. Don't know which one, 'cause I think they look the same, but, you reviewed one of their like sparkling waters or something like that. And then he duetted you. And then like, I feel like that really took you off. Is that somewhat correct at all? Or like fill us in.
Yeah. So do you want me just like start? Let's
wind up. I mean, hey, Deck, I love the intro there. And you tried to, you know,
dude, that's where we found you. So I just like curious as to where we came in the plot line.
It's hard because TikTok throws videos at people at different times. So a video that someone saw of mine for like the first time ever could have been a video I created 6 months ago. So the timelines are always a little sketchy with TikTok. But kind of like what happened was, so obviously during COVID, we were all in quarantine and had nothing to do. And I don't know if you guys were introduced to TikTok at that time, but a lot of people in my friend group were like, "Just download it. It's so addicting." I was super into Vine, and I kind of was like, nothing will ever take over Vine. I will never give in to TikTok, because I was like a hardcore Vine watcher. But then my best friend was like, just got to do it. We have nothing else to do. So I downloaded it, was just on the app for like a few months, just like messing around because I didn't really think much of it. And then one day I decided to like create entertainment news around like TikTokers and influencers and YouTubers, pretty much like the non-conventional celebrity. So I'm not talking about like J-Lo or like Miley Cyrus. I was talking about like Bryce Hall or Josh Richards. And it just kind of took off because people were super interested in them on the app. And a lot of Gen Z people don't really care about the A-list celebrities anymore. So they were super interested in learning about like the unconventional celebrities. So I posted tea just like 3 to 8 times a day, on TikTok. I don't know if, are you guys familiar with how the app works?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like 15 to a minute episode or video. Nothing more. Yeah. So I posted like 3 to 8 of those videos a day. The growth was super slow in the beginning. It took me about 6 months to even hit 10,000 followers, which to TikTok world, that's like very slow growth because most people like join the app and get like 100,000 followers in a few weeks. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to keep going. And then 6 months in, Bryce Hall duetted a video because him and Josh Richards started the energy drink. So you were close. It was like 6 months into my TikTok journey.
And it was Bryce Hall and Josh Richards, not either or. Wow.
Well, so it's their energy drink, but Bryce Hall duetted it. And that was like one of the moments where I was like, oh my God, like this is really cool. Like I remember I was at dinner and I never got like a lot of TikTok notifications. My phone was literally blowing up and I'm like, what's going on? Why do I have so many notifications? And I was at dinner with friends, so I didn't want to check my phone. And then I got in my car and I like opened up my app and I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And then from there, the growth was still like pretty slow. And I've had like a few moments where I've gotten like a large amount of followers in a really short period of time, but I feel like the growth has been pretty steady. It hasn't been like, it hasn't like shot up and stopped. It's just been like very organic, I feel like.
Gotcha. Can we talk about that 6 months for a bit? I mean, you decided to, you know, start this, record some content, put it out there to the world, reviewing the, what'd you call the celebrity? The
unconventional celebrity. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot. The unconventional celebrity, and you were spilling the tea and you stuck with it for 6 months. How was that? Like, where did you find the most enjoyment internally? Because you said there wasn't a ton of instant followership. Where did it come from? Like, okay, I really enjoy following this person and talking about these topics.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. It was a little brutal because everyone around me was getting that like instant gratification of growth. Like there were multiple other people that had also kind of started doing the TikTok tea. That's what they just call it. And they were growing super fast. And I was just kind of staying at that below 10,000 follower mark. So it was like hard to see that every single day, but I was like, I don't know. There was just something in me for like the first, cause I tend to like get involved with things and then I give up a lot. And I never really knew if that was just like my personality or if I just didn't like what I was doing. But this was like the first thing I did where I was like, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep doing this. And I was like, I'm going to get there one day. I mean, like it's going to happen eventually. And I just had to keep telling myself like other people in like the non-conventional celebrity world takes a long time to grow followers. Like David Dobrik didn't get to his fame overnight. James Charles didn't get to his fame overnight. These are just like other big names. It's just like the TikTokers who are getting that instant gratification, but their followers aren't genuine or they aren't sticking. So I just kind of, and like, I didn't want to like bash other people, but in my head, I just kind of like kept telling myself like, it will get there. It'll pay off. And now it's starting to, and I'm very grateful that I didn't give up.
I love
a year
that.
And 2 months later.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. And like we commend you for that 100%, and know the grind to a certain degree. We were one of those who, and like our TikTok journey is weird because like we found out about the app similar time as like what we heard about a long time ago, but didn't really commit to anything on TikTok until right around the pandemic. And
yeah, I do want to say that real quick because I like sharing that story, the Piff story.
Yeah, that's a good one.
On TikTok. So the app changed from Musical.ly to TikTok in the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. And our good friend Piff Peterson, who we graduated from St. Thomas with. Yes, he was shooting content for us behind the scenes on the podcast. And he's like, you guys need to get on this thing called TikTok. It just changed from Musical.ly. I posted a couple videos and they're going viral. I got all these followers. And we were like, sounds like a phase. And he stuck with it all of 2019 and became one of the early TikTok influencers and was getting flown out to all the shows X, Y, and Z to talk about TikTok. And we still were like, we kind of dropped the ball. We don't know what this app is. We're not going to do anything. But he found a ton of success with it, and we didn't get onto it till the pandemic. But it was really cool to see Piff in particular really take advantage of TikTok.
Right. He actually just, I mean, I knew who he was beforehand because he's from Minnesota and he's obviously like did really well. But he popped up on my For You page the other day from, he did like a getting hit by a car bit. And it was so real. I probably watched the video 15 times, then stalked him to make sure he was still alive on like all his social platforms. So what he's doing is working.
Yeah.
Like I was hooked.
Right. No, he's just recently come back. I haven't like personally talked to him much. He's still Piff from the looks of, which is great. But like, I'm so curious as to like what he basically went dark for a year and just came back recently. So interested
in content.
Yeah. He like went like totally off grid from like November 2019, maybe. No, actually probably a little later. I don't know when he went dark, but he went dark for about a year, starting in 2020 at some point. So, Piff, if you're listening, we'd love to talk.
Yeah, I'm glad he's back. His content's really funny.
Yeah, no, he's got a great sense of humor, and that's what I love about it. And the what my question for you though, like in terms of the intrinsic motivation, like tap into more of that a little bit, and just like just more of a general question, but like, why are people interested in celebrities?
Oh gosh. So should I answer the motivation question first?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So
yeah, why are you interested in celebrities?
So I think for me, like the one thing I've been interested in my entire life, well, I mean, like as long as I can remember, has always been like famous people in pop culture. Like I was always watching E! News. I would binge watch that, like couldn't wait until 7 o'clock hits for E! News and Entertainment Tonight to come on. I've just always been like a fanatic with celebrities, famous people. And I've always wanted to get into this space. I had my own talk show for like a hot second in college. And then it was just so much work that we had to stop doing it. And it's always been a true passion of mine. And I've always been trying to figure out ways to get involved with it, especially like in the corporate world, but it's very hard to get into like the celebrity world or the entertainment world. And then with TikTok, I was like, oh, like this could potentially open doors. And I think just something like stuck with me. And I also was enjoying it. Like not having followers did suck. Like I'm not going to sugarcoat that, but it was like a hobby I was doing every day that was like fulfilling me and like making me excited to wake up every day, especially like in that COVID pandemic, like very lonely time. So it was almost like I've never had a hobby and I had something like I enjoy doing every single day. It just took 25 years to get to.
Hey, that's better than taking 100 years to get to it. And
exactly,
the fact that you were looking for it and saw an opportunity just kind of come up on your radar and you took advantage, like, again, commend you for that. A lot of people would be scared to take that opportunity or turn a blind eye to it, or, you know, do something where they wouldn't be able to step through that door before it closes. So, the fact that like you stuck with it, the fact that you were able to recognize it and just like know that that was a passion of yours, like that's freaking awesome. But like coming from a guy, like honestly, like hands raised, I was like kind of nervous going into this podcast. Like, I know we know you, but I'm also just like, I was scrolling through your TikToks today and I was like, dang, like, I don't know anything about pop culture and I don't know anything about unconventional TikTok celebrities. Couldn't even tell you the difference between Bryce Hall and Josh Richards. So like I was worried. Names.
That's impressive.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Addison Rae. There's another one.
There you go.
But like, I guess I'm not totally up to speed. So I'm like, wow, I'm really entering a court that I might be signing up for something that I might not be able to fulfill, you know? So I come from a place of where like I was never watching E! News and I was never really invested in any of that stuff. Andrew, I would think you're somewhat similar here.
Well, I would say I fall on the
BFF.
I definitely follow all of the Josh Richards with Dave Portnoy.
He opened up a whole new door.
Yes, that's what kind of really got me into it. But I fall into the category of still following the A-listers. Not like, I wouldn't say like the prototypical ones, but I read People magazine. My mom ordered all the People magazines, and I would read them as a kid because they'd just be laying next to, you know, Sports Illustrated. And I was like, oh, what's going on with, you know, the J-Lo's and the Miley Cyrus of the world. And I know a lot about movies and actors and actresses and what movies they were in. And like if an actor comes up on screen, I could tell you, I mean, the majority of the time I could tell you all the history of TV shows and movies he played. Because I follow that stuff intently and I love knowing it. So I relate to like the people that aren't into the unconventional celebrities more so.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I love my A-list celebrities, but for some reason, that's just like not a super strong platform on TikTok. I tried going that route and I still will talk about them every once in a while, but people are just so fascinated with those like unconventional celebrities. And also with COVID, all the A-listers hid from the world. And then all of like the non-conventional celebrities still kept going out and causing drama.
Well, how about this? That the A-list celebrities did do the Gal Gadot video. The Gal Gadot Imagination video, where all the celebrities their portion of the lyrics of Imagination by John Lennon. By far the most cringe portion of the pandemic, if you were going to put in like the pandemic in an 18-month span, potentially more, nothing tops Gal Gadot Imagination. Doesn't.
That was, I remember that now.
I would love to tap into, you know, the L.A. scene right now with, you know, a lot of celebrities are leaving L.A. and going to Texas or New York or wherever. And the unconventional, because we're going to stick with that term because I love it now, unconventional celebrities are coming in and they're filling houses. And they have names of these houses and they're content creating houses. One of our own producers left Minneapolis to go to a game show-esque type house to shoot content and be the main producer there. His name's Ben Sarbacker, like really cool guy.
Cool guy.
And like this is a new wave of things that I struggle to see the value long-term. I see the short-term sparks of like why it's like awesome for a company to throw their names next to it and get a bunch of eyeballs. But like, what's really going on at these houses? And is it good?
Yeah, no, you make a really good point because I don't really see the long-term value in it either. I feel like that space goes a million miles a minute. I mean, I've seen so many content houses come and go in this past year. And unfortunately, the people that were in those content houses don't really have like the hype anymore. That's what they call it. Like if you're going viral. So I feel like at the time, it's great because you're around people who you can collaborate with, you can make videos with, you can like bounce each other's cloud off of one another and get followers that way. But I don't think it lasts because one, these aren't like genuine friendships. Two, everyone, especially like Gen Z and below, can only focus on one thing for like a minute and then they're on to the next. And I also don't think, and I don't want to stereotype all people in that category, but they don't have like the motivation to keep doing it every day because they're kids. They're like 16 years old. They're not ready to work and produce content every single day. And a lot of them have been thrown into this without wanting it. So it's not like they were like, okay, I'm going to become an influencer. I'm going to work my butt off and get there every day. They just grow, get that instant gratification and think they don't do anything else. They're like, oh, I'm viral. I'm going to stay viral. And they don't have like, they haven't like grown the work ethic to continue to do it. And that's like what the houses are filled with is kids like that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And there's one route to go on, like through the topic of like mental health and how this could like actually like really affect these people, like grabbing that self-gratification, instant gratification, and then being like completely removed from their lives. And like, that's really difficult to see. But on the other hand, the ones that are doing it successfully have all this content. They're bouncing it from, they're bouncing clout from person to person, and then they're bringing it back to their own thing. You just mentioned the Josh Richards and Bryce Hall. Like, they have their own energy drink now. Like, those are the people that are winning. It's the ones that have, that start their own podcast and bring eyeballs back to them instead of just kind of bouncing it inside the house and internally, you know, playing that game of ricochet. You need to have your thoroughbreds, the people that, the ride or dies, the people that believe in what you're doing.
Yes. And the people who are sticking with it and just like continuously grinding and not giving up, like if they don't get that quick instant gratification that they got from that one TikTok video the first time they posted.
Is there just with like you constantly keeping track of the U-listers? I'm going to call them U-listers because
oh,
of
like
the
that.
unconventional, so they're going to be U-listers.
I like that.
Are the U-listers like, are these guys, can you pick out the ones that like the Bryce Halls or the Josh Richards, like can you know, do you know when like they're going to be a big deal, like, or is it hard to kind of sift through all of the different kids who have 250k on TikTok or more or even a million? Because like to your point with TikTok, it's like the numbers are a tad inflated now, right? Like I would say like having like 1 million TikTok followers is still like, what's your audience? Like the, you know, I'm still not totally sold on what you're doing here necessarily. So kind of, like fill me in on how you're able to know the difference between like a for real, like this person's going to be a big deal versus like, this person might be kind of a fraud or won't last long.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to describe how I know. I feel like it's not just me, you know, it's like everyone in this space kind of knows who's going to make it big. Like everyone knows out of the whole TikTok app, there's probably 4 TikTokers who will make it or will stay relevant, 4 or 5. And I think it's just the people who continuously grow and are continuously going on to the next trend and sticking with it and also grinding every day. But they also have kind of like that it factor that I don't really know how to describe. Like everyone knows Addison Rae. You guys knew Addison Rae. You knew Bryce Holt. Like how did you guys know them? You know what I mean? It's like the people who everybody knows.
Yeah, it's taking your recognition to the next level. And I think Addison Rae and the D'Amelio girls, they did it really well early on. They were at the NBA NBA All-Star weekend. Like the NBA saw value in TikTok and they grabbed 2 of the hot stars. And now those two have launched their careers into places they probably never foreseen. Josh Richards doing the same thing with the Best Friends podcast. That thing is crushing. And that's giving Barstool even more so eyeballs because it's bringing in the Gen Zers. It's insane. And the power of TikTok is the thing that continues to amaze me. I know Deck just said that, you know, what is 1 million followers? Yeah, I really don't know what the followership is, but the views are real. The followership is whatever, but the amount of views that you get is a very real thing, and especially if you have something behind it. And we continuously use this example, and our listeners are probably tired of hearing it, but I love sharing it. We started the Straight Candid podcast with Sydney Kay and Sophie Van Zirksem. And 6 months in, not a ton of traction, but, you know, like a core authentic group of listeners every week. And it was really fun doing it. And they were getting better at their craft. They finally started listening to us and posting videos on TikTok. And 2 in a row got 500,000 views. All of that traction came back to the podcast and our YouTube channel. And we had done 6 months of legwork. And the views on the TikTok came to the podcast, and we cracked the top 25 comedy podcasts in the U.S.
Oh my
because
gosh.
Everyone saw those TikToks and were like, holy shit, these girls are funny. And then they clicked play on the podcast, and there was just a mass influx of listeners in that 3-4 day period. And we hit the charts, and it was that in that single moment, I knew how real TikTok was and how valuable it truly is.
I think that's the beauty of TikTok is that it's an app that can help create fame and traction for any one of your brands. Because I feel like Instagram, you can't just like create an account one day and expect to get thousands of followers overnight. Like I really don't know how people grow on Instagram if they're just like a person joining. But on TikTok, any single person can go on the For You page and millions of people can see them and it's completely random. So like what you just said with the podcast, like if you're trying to promote something, you have the ability to throw that on TikTok and TikTok will push that out to sometimes 20 million people, which is insane. But it's true too, because like there are also a lot of people on TikTok who have 1 million followers and only get like 10,000 views a video. And then you have some people with 90,000 people on TikTok, but are hitting like 1 million views every video. So it's really like twofold. I think TikTok is looked at as how many views and interactions you get, as well as how many followers you have, and if you can kind of keep those consistent.
Right. Well, and at the same time too, I think what we're all agreeing on is just like TikTok's a great way to like generate an actual audience or that's drawn towards like what you're trying to do. So like you spilling tea every day, you have consistent followers coming back every day, 250,000 followers coming back every day to you, wanting to know the next like thing that's going on in pop culture. Same thing with Stray Candy. They're showing up for those two ladies. And I think that's maybe a mistake Andrew and I made back was we were just trying to do the trends. You're just doing like random things to try and go viral. Once we did, it's like, well, who's your audience? Like what, how are you supposed to capitalize on that? We then learned with like, Stray Candid obviously showed us, but like there's an, even another example with like the Mini Hustlers, if you know who they are. Two ladies in the Twin Cities who put out, workout plans, starting during the pandemic. And then they blew up on TikTok as well. But they just have a loyal following of people who love to work out and use their workout plans and everything like that. And it's just cool how you can build and generate like a dedicated organic audience for your liking. And it shows with like that, with the micro influence. So like my question to you is like, what has it been like feeling and utilizing and like experiencing the, like your newfound audience of like people who want the tea from Jordan every day?
It's been really cool. Like I feel like I have a really great community behind me. There's obviously some people that are a little scary.
You got some crazies.
Oh yeah. There's some TikTok has some bullies. I mean, the Gen Zers are some nasty individuals at times.
Nice.
But no, overall I have a great community. I've met some like really good friends through TikTok. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to meet any of them in person because of COVID, but the tea community is growing in TikTok and there's like a handful of us that continuously talk every day. So I've met some really good friends. It's opened up a lot of different doors for me, from like a career standpoint or also like new opportunities. And yeah, I mean, I've gotten to know some of like the famous TikTokers too, which has been incredible. So it's been quite an experience. It's been very surreal. Like I can't really describe it because I also feel like it's so new at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really cool. I can't imagine my life without TikTok. And it's only been a year of my entire life.
That's really cool to hear. And yeah, I'm assuming you have established some catchphrases, some one-liners that when you like you feel the inklings coming and you're like, oh, this is the perfect time to use the phrase I used 3 videos ago that really went viral. Has that happened?
So I used to have more one-liners when I first started. And then I noticed that the videos I did well were the ones that just like got straight to the point because you only have about 3 seconds to catch your audience's eye, especially like in the news because no one wants, like I sometimes try to tell stories, but I noticed the videos that do are the ones that are like quick to the point, 15 seconds long. So that's the only thing that kind of sucks about TikTok is sometimes I can't like put my personality in it because I know that like people just want the tea. They don't want to always see me. They just like want the information. But back in the day, I had a few one-liners that I was known for that I would say like in every video.
What were some of the one-liners?
I always said, and we are back, but like, and we are back, like in every single video. If you watch my old ones, it's kind of obnoxious, but it's fun to watch. And then I said a few other things that I can't remember.
Well, I love how in your videos, you know, you're kind of like in the corner and it's the same type of, it's the same appearance as you are right now in Zoom where it's just you cut out and then it's like a background image or a video or whatever. So like you just kind of like pop up in there and you got your headset on your Apple headphones with the cord and you're giving the tea. I mean, it's the aesthetic of it is so simple, but I appreciate the uniqueness of it.
Yeah. I don't know if people notice this, but I wear almost the exact same thing in every single TikTok.
Really?
I wear like the same 3 sweatshirts and I just alternate, but no one's ever commented on my clothing.
Interesting. Are you trying to avoid any comments on your clothing?
No, I'm lazy and since we don't go into the office, I just wear the same thing every day.
That's fair. That's totally fair. You could start like, you could get a little bit of merch going and start maybe throwing that in there, maybe have that in the roto.
So I was thinking about that, but merch is like a whole nother animal.
It is, kind of. It depends how picky you are. That's my Andrew and I's, because Andrew and I have gone through it and we've been terrible at merch, but we also just know how to like put merch out at the low, like, and I don't want to say it's low quality, but it's just like, it's very low thought input.
Those
one rocked. Sick. Those were sick. There are certain thought thing. We've put thought towards merch. Don't get me wrong, but we found a way to make it so like, you don't have to like go crazy on it. And
we use Printful, which is like a global drop shipping company that you can put your logo on, and you can use like generic shirts, like branded shirts like Bella Canvas and Champion, and they wholesale it. So, and then it's expensive. Yeah. We don't make that much money, if any, really on our end, because the source is expensive, but it's more so for our listeners and our followers that want to like wear branded stuff. We're not trying to make money off it, but it's fun to have other people wear it. But you're absolutely right. Merch is an animal, and anyone that's good at it, I'm always very impressed. I don't know how they do it. I don't know where they're getting their manufacturers from, if it's overseas or whatnot, but I've yet to figure it out. The Straight Canada girls are going through it right now, and I've offered suggestions, and I always feel terrible because I've been doing it now for 5 years, and I can't figure it out.
I know. That's the thing that does, and this should not be an excuse, but having like a corporate job has prevented me from doing a lot of things, and merch being one of them, because I feel like it is a full-time job in itself.
It really is. Yeah. It's a hassle, especially if like you're trying to be a perfectionist and like trying to put out something that's unique. But like, I think with your angle of it being like, just you're spilling the tea, you know, there's new tea to be spilt every day. There's probably a new t-shirt to create around the tea you're spilling every day. And I see Andrew and I both see tons of brands, Barstool obviously one of them, who just create t-shirts based on the hype around what's going on.
Oh yeah.
So like, that's why we go with like a Printful Shopify interface, because we can slap a screenshot of some meme or something that's been going on, and all of a sudden that's like a relevant shirt to buy. As you just got to be kind of quick-witted and like capitalize on like the heat of the moment, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. And I feel like simple's in, like, that's like the new style these days, is just like simple, low key, but you're right. It's like, if you can get it out immediately, you're good to go.
Exactly. So I got to ask, like, you know, with the U-listers and the Gen Zers, Andrew and I are, I guess Andrew and I are technically Gen Z because we're 96. We're like the oldest, we're the Gen Z elders. Actually,
I'm technically a millennial.
You're technically a millennial. And that's, you know, it is what it is. I think being a Gen Z is pretty cool.
Sorry, Deck, to cut you off, but they do say that the cusp of Gen Z and millennials, so us, right? Like, we fall on the years where some people forget like where we're actually at.
Yeah.
True leadership comes out of that interval, because you understand the perspective of what it's like to be a millennial and a Gen Z. And you can, like, when you're now 50 years old and you're a leader in like your specific workforce, you have that like ability to relate to both generations.
That's actually a good point. I also think that, yeah, some people would call you guys a millennial and some people would call me a Gen Z. Depends what study you're looking at.
Right.
But we are like on that cusp.
Yeah. It's alternative facts, as some would say. So, you know, we can both be we can all be Gen Z here. We can all be a millennial. There could be a divide if we wanted, but regardless, what is it like? What is like the perception that people? No, we know what this perception of what Gen Z is, but like, what is like your favorite misconception about Gen Z? Or I would just love to hear some Gen Z dialogue. We got to start talking Gen Z.
Oh, misconception. I don't have like a lot of great things to say about Gen Z.
Yeah, what's your gripes with Gen Z?
I think that, so I posted a TikTok about this the other day and I got a lot of people angry. I think Gen Z is ruining a lot of things for us, and I think I think they're ruining the pop culture entertainment space, especially for the U-listers. The thing with like the U-list celebrities is people think that they're our friends because they're a lot more like touchable they go out in public more often. They're more interactive with their fans. They're on platforms where we see them every single day. Whereas like true A-list celebrities, like we have no idea what they're doing every day, but I could tell you what Bryce Hall was doing yesterday because they just post so much more. So they think that they like have to protect them like Gen Zers do. So like whenever someone posts something, I get like threats like, how dare you post this rumor or this thing about blah, blah, blah. They don't want to be talked about. And I'm like, they're not your friend. Like, you don't need to protect them. Like, they do want to be talked about to stay relevant. Like, they need to be talked about to stay relevant. And I, like, try never to say anything bad about anyone I'm talking about. That's, like, something I kind of try to, like, live by with my teas. I never, like, spread rumors, like, bash people. I just, like, share the facts. And nice. I will just get, like, I'll post something that's, like, blatantly true. Just, like, for example, Addison and her new boyfriend. I'll like post about them like, oh, Addison and Omer spotted, and I'll get all these DMs like, how dare you talk about Addison? You can't talk, like they're not together. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't know what you want from me. But that wouldn't happen with the A-list celebrities and E! News, you know what I mean? No one's like DMing them like, how dare you talk about Kim Kardashian or J-Lo? You know what I mean? So that they're just ruining it for a lot of us.
Interesting. What's it like handling the negativity from Gen Z?
Oh, I just don't anymore. I used to let it affect me because like the comments were horrible. And then I went on a little bit of a hiatus where I wasn't looking at any comments or DMs because it was just like too much for me. And then I just was like, you know what? I'm not going to let it get to me. Like these people, I just like had to kind of get myself out of it because I still wanted to interact with people. So now I just try to avoid it at all costs. Like today, I got like a nasty DM and I just deleted it. I was like, I'm not going to waste my energy on it.
We don't need to dive into the negativity as like Andrew and I commonly say that negativity is not positive fuel to our journey to Mars. So, you know, negative energy is kind of like a bad downwind. You know, you hate to have a bad downwind when you're trying to go upwards. So, but I'm just curious, like, what are people saying to you? Like what's hurting your feelings, Jordan?
So I think like the biggest thing now, and this one doesn't hurt my feelings. This is just what I get every day is you're like 40 years old. Why are you talking about kids?
And I'm like, wow, that's brutal. What a shot.
Someone DM'd me today and they were like, you're like 30 years old. Why are you talking about kids? And it was a picture of Kylie Jenner. And I was like, me and Kylie Jenner are like the same age. I don't know what you're talking about. But a lot of the other ones are like, you're ugly, you should go yourself, like just like horrible things or like I could, yeah, there it's bad. Yeah. I mean, if you want to see bad comments, go to like my earlier videos and just read the comments.
Yeah. TikTok more than any other platform. They're mean. They're really mean. They're horrible. And I'm going to continue to use the Straight Canada example. You scroll through theirs and it's just so bashful because they're on like, their topics are on like the new wave of being like very candid with what it's like to be a woman in their early 20s and all bodily things. It's
yeah,
they're on the cutting edge of it, so like people are ruthless when it comes to that type of thing. And I'm also curious, since you're in the business of like spilling the tea, have you been and or have you seen any times where you've been on like the front lines of spilling the tea and everyone is coming to your page to check out like this rumor or this fact?
You're the first in the story.
Yeah, you're first in the story.
So that's the thing that's hard is that I have some really awesome people that will send me the tea that needs to be talked about, and I have definitely covered situations.
You first. Have sources.
You have sources. Oh. You have sources, dude. That's fucking sick. Having sources is how you get in the game, dude. You're in it.
Yeah, having sources has changed the game for me. I have some really great individuals that send me information. Some of them can be a little rude. They're like, they try to tell me what to do with my channel. And I'm like, you're just the source. You're not the person who controls the channel. But the thing with TikTok is that the For You page isn't like, they don't care that you brought it first. So like I could post this like breaking story first and then 3 hours later, another person could, and they could get more views because the For You page was just happened to be more friendly to them. Like they happened to get into a box of people that was more interested in, because how TikTok works, it puts you into one focus group. If they like you, puts you into a bigger focus group. If they like you, you then go mega viral. So it all depends on what like focus group they're throwing you in. So that's the thing that sucks, is that I have a few times, but I don't always get the recognition for it. But
yeah, the algorithm is fugazi. That makes a ton of sense. I mean, focus group algorithm is a brilliant model. Well done, TikTok.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you have sources, like I follow a lot of, you know, sports Twitter pages, and they're always saying my sources X, Y, and Z. And there's this one guy, his name's Chris Broussard, and his sources are brutal. He's got Beanie Babies for sources sometimes. I feel like he's making them up.
He's been he's known to have Beanie Babies legitimately as sources because they're so bad. Like he's been so off multiple times. Back when sources like were a true thing, like when LeBron James was like undecided about where he was going to go, after his first stint in Cleveland, like Chris Broussard couldn't have been more off pace with where LeBron was going to go due to his sources.
Yeah. Terrible sources.
And that's the beauty of the world we're in now, is that there's videos and screenshots of everything. So I never report on anything until I can see physical evidence. I even tell people that, they'll send me like a long DM and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that until I see something like physically showing that that happened. Because I never want that reputation of like, oh, Jordan just spits like lies left and right. And also like those TikTokers are on my page and have commented on my videos. And like, I've gotten DMs from people before being like, that's not true, you need to take that down. And I was like, well, I have a video of you doing it, so it is true. Like, I just never want to get like caught in that situation.
Right. Right. Gotcha. It's cool. It's cool that like how, maybe Gary, sorry, Andrew, were you going to say something? I didn't want to.
Well, my follow-up question was going to be, how did you become her? How did you start trusting your sources with the knowledge that they're giving you? However, you answered that by fact-checking them because the information is readily available. So they'll give you a lead, and then you'll go to Instagram or their TikTok page and be like, all right, confirmed. Now it's time to post the video.
Yeah, like a girl the other day, and she asked to be anonymous, and I always respect that. I'll never, like, say like share people's names, but she was actually at the same resort as Omer and Addison Rae, and she took pictures for me, and it was insane. I've never experienced anything like that. And she sent me like actual pictures of Addison Rae and Omer Fetty like arm in arm laughing, hanging out at a resort, and she just sent them directly to me, and I was like, you could sell these. Like, that's crazy.
That's so sick.
He's like, here you go, like, feel free to talk about it, just keep my name out of it. And I was like, deal done.
Got it. So then on the other hand, do you have people that request like, you can only share my lead, is it if you give me credit?
No, I actually haven't. Like, a lot of people don't want to be known, and I'm not sure why. So yeah, and I haven't, but if anyone did, I would totally do it. I'd be like, yeah. And right. I always cred people that I get information from that's like obvious. So for example, there's like a few like accounts that post like pop culture. Like, I'll always be like, creds this person, because it's like, if they came up with a story, I'm not just gonna like steal it. And if people want more information, they can just like, it doesn't, like, I've learned that people just go to their favorite sources no matter what. So it's like, it doesn't hurt anyone to share where you got the information from.
Right. It's so interesting too, how like the information is not very jaded it's not near as jaded as it used to be.
Right.
In like the old, like just before the social media era, like the way you're checking sources is just by going into different funnels of the internet. And I think Gary Vee said this one time, but it's just like, you really can't live an alternate life of like a lie, because it's just like, everybody knows you're the full scope, and it's it's not worth trying to sell a lie when you can just sell yourself and try and amplify. So it's like,
right.
You have a great example. You're attacking it, I feel like, in the right sense, where it's like, you're going to operate as honestly as you can, because like, that's going to build the strongest foundation for, you know, consistency. But
yeah, I love Gary Vee, by the way. He's actually been like a large motivator for me to like continue with TikTok.
That was for sure us. Not to say like timeline wise, but like when we like similar to the time when you came over for the Ross Heyman podcast. I mean, we were deeply invested into Gary Vee. He had just come to Rochester, Minnesota, to speak, and Declan went to that convention, if you will, to hear him talk in person. And Deck came back with this newfound energy that really, like, again, kickstarted a different direction in Back Pocket's history and continued to, like, force us to, like, stay on it, be consistent. Who cares about all the people and how many people are following? You're doing it for the one-to-one. You're doing it for the internal growth, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, he taught me – well, not me. The one thing that he taught me was – for content, quantity over quality. And I've never heard someone say that, where he's like, I don't care what your content looks like, just post 10 videos a day. Eventually, like, people are gonna follow you, versus like posting like one perfect video a day. And that's why I started posting like close to 8 videos a day for a while, because I was like, it's actually a good point. Like, you have more opportunity to go on the For You page to be noticed. So I love Gary.
Yeah, and like, and right off that, sorry again to cut you off. No, like, I feel like I'm doing that a ton today, but right off that, you posting 8 videos a day and Gary preaching post 8 videos a day. It's not for you to do that forever. It's for you to do that right away and then listen to the reaction and understand, okay, this is what I like doing and this is also what people like seeing, and then you hybrid the two and you continue to do it. For Back Pocket, we did 3 podcasts a week for 40 straight weeks. And we understood what it takes to now truly produce a podcast, one for ourselves and now for other people. And it kickstarted a whole nother venture for us. So honestly, Gary Vee was a huge part of that, the quantity over quality.
Yes, 100%. He's definitely someone I want to meet. But.
Oh, yeah. Gary, got to just like shake his hand and tell him thank you. Like, he's also one of those guys who's more like, you don't need to be dedicated in like following him every single day. He's just always going to be kind of like a fart in the wind. You know, like, you're going to smell Gary Vee. You're going to know that he like exists. Like, it's funny because we're talking about this exact conversation of quality over quantity, and I haven't tuned into the guy in a long time, but just was obviously scrolling and saw a video of his. And it was like some girl had posted like 8 videos a day for 4 months and had like 600 videos or something like that, and she's like, nothing's sticking. And then he was like, hey, then change. Like, he just like kind of told her, like, you can't do the same thing over and over and over again. You have to like modify what you're doing so that so that you have a chance to test something different. So it was just like, it was so funny to have someone like, you know, take that advice of like actually post that many videos, but they were so terrible that like no one cared.
Isn't that the definition of like insane, is doing the same thing every day and expecting a different outcome?
Yes,
potentially. Yeah.
But that's the thing. He taught me that too. Cause when I was posting my 8 videos a day, I was like, well, I'm not really growing followers. So I was continuously like changing up the content to be like a little different to see like what's stuck. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like now I'm like kind of getting like the secret sauce of like how to get my videos to like stick.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Maybe. Scrolling through your TikTok before this podcast, I could tell like I could see some sort of like flow to it. Like, if one video like popped off about a story, you did like 2 more right away. Mm-hmm. And those like did really, really well. And then like you also played around with just doing like day in the life of Jordan type stuff, where it's like, hey, look into what I'm doing for once type thing. And then you had some other stuff mixed in there, but like, talk me through kind of like the different types of content that you enjoy kind of posting and like where, how that kind of influences to where you're at right now and going forward.
Yeah. So the first time I kind of tried doing new content was doing series. I really liked to do series. So I did them on like how people got famous or how they got viral. So that was a lot of fun. And then I kind of jumped to trying to do like more personal content, because I don't want to just be like a face that talks to you. I want to be a person. I also want to be more of a person on TikTok, so I can like leverage my brand and move it across different platforms and then potentially get money that way and like not have to work a corporate job my entire life. Because I just feel like those lifestyle influencers like truly can make some like great living off of their content. So I've tried that. I've tried to do, I've just tried to like change up the tea a lot and like just try different series out. Right now I'm kind of well, up until like last week, I was like in the slump of just solely doing the tea. And then once I moved to New York, I'm going to like incorporate a lot more like day in the life, more New York, because I feel like that's more fun to watch than Minnesota. But it's really random. But I have like, I could like tell you like how to make a video work or like what works. It's just like a ton of different things to like mess with the algorithm. But yeah, it's very random. I should be a little more strategic, but I'm not.
Well, that brings up a good question. Have you thought about redirecting the TikTok audience? And I see like Instagram, your followership is growing there as well. You got banned a few times, I think, on TikTok. Yeah. So then you started posting on Instagram and then your Instagram started picking up. What's it like trying to redirect audience? And have you thought about redirecting audience to separate things where money might be more greater or you have more creative freedom?
Yes. It is extremely difficult. That's the thing too with TikTok, like a million followers on TikTok is like similar to 100,000 followers on Instagram or like 100,000 followers on YouTube. Like that's like kind of like when you look at the value of followers, like it's just insane. So like you'll look at someone's account on TikTok and they're like, they have 3 million followers. How do they only have 20,000 followers on Instagram? So it's really hard to get them to move, but I'm trying to just because like TikTok, it's so iffy. You never know. You don't know like the longevity of your account or the app. Yeah. So it's been difficult and I'm trying, but Instagram's hard. It's like a hard social media platform to unlock on how to grow.
You got me dialed in as a follower. Just I pick up the tea from your stories. So
okay.
You got me. You at least got me.
You know what surprises me is that I would say guys are a lot more involved in the tea than my girl followers. Like a lot of my guy friends are like, I swear they like talk about it with me more than my girlfriends do. They're like, yeah, I saw what happened with Bryce Hall. So like my brother, even he's like, yeah, I saw that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, I think guys secretly really like pop culture entertainment.
Yes, and I think they're finding it a lot from what Declan just mentioned, Instagram stories.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I check when I'm like wanting to check social media is Instagram stories, and then the people that do it best are setting it up. I love talking to the algorithm because that's literally same. Declan and I. Like, yeah, we're so ingrained in it. But one like neat trick that we figured out is when you post something interesting, always follow it up with just like a stagnant piece of text. So that people have the opportunity to click back. So if you post like an Instagram reel to your story and post an image or just like a quote from that reel as the next thing. So then like people click on the reel, they're like, oh, that was interesting, but it goes away too fast. And then it pops up something relevant to the previous story. So they click back and then they click into it.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, clickbacks is our favorite thing to look at on Instagram.
Always got to go about clickbacks, see what people actually, what opportunity they potentially miss. So like if I post a video of me doing a backflip off a cliff and then I just zoom into the picture of me doing a backflip and then just post that as the next thing, create it into a meme, then they'll go back to the video.
Oh, I love that. See, that's the stuff I need to learn about. And then I wish I had more time on my hands to like dig into because.
Shared knowledge, Jordan. You just got to take a podcast interview. That's all it takes.
I know. I really want to grow my Instagram and I'm getting there. But I mean, like in a year, I grew 250,000 on TikTok. I grew 10,000 followers on Instagram. Like that's.
Yeah, that's sweet. It's freaking awesome.
But that's like a big difference of followers. So I'm like, how do I get like more, like I'm just really trying to work on my Instagram followers because that platform will probably forever be there. TikTok, yeah. I just never know.
Right. I think I would challenge you to like try and see who of that 10,000, like who are the biggest fans, like who are those people responding in your DMs or who are those people who like are watching every single story? Or just like if you dropped merch tomorrow, who would like legitimately like buy into what you're saying? And like that's what it always kind of works as like a funnel. We can talk all day about that kind of stuff. But like to me, I want to see you like long form. I want to see you like on YouTube, like kind of a Crystalia format. Like you have like a little backdrop set up in your studio. You got a mic, you got camera, you got everything. And you can just talk for 45 minutes on the tee.
That's
and like
dream.
It would be sick. Like you could, and it wouldn't take much. I mean, DSLR, good audio, nice backdrop in your New York apartment. Like, to me, that's the dream. And like, if you were to talk for that long, how many people are going to listen to you for 45 minutes as opposed to 3 seconds? Like, that's where I, and again, it goes back to like, when we talked at the very beginning, like the Bryce Halls and the Addison Rays of the world, like what makes them so transcendent is because they legitimately move from industry to industry to industry. Like Addison Rae only pops into my brain because I'm a UFC fan and I see that she does all that dumb stuff. And I'm like, oh, well now I got to go back into Addison Rae's funnel to figure out who the hell she is by the time before I start listening to her talk about fighting, you know?
That was a genius move for the UFC.
Genius move, but I got to see Jordan in long form. I got to see you like full on like having your own set and talking to you, dude. I think it'd be sick.
That's the dream, and that is my end goal, to have a podcast and or a YouTube show. That's like the tip, like where my dream is. Like that will.
How is that the dream? You can do that tomorrow.
I can, and like I said, I know this isn't an excuse, but having like a full-time job and doing content as well as like other things on the side and having a life, like it's a lot, and I have to like figure out how to balance all of it, because like TikTok takes like 3 hours of my day, plus I work a pretty demanding job, and like I said, I know these are like all excuses, but I still want to like enjoy my time and my life and all of this, so it's something I like struggle with every single day. I'm like, life or content creation?
Yeah, no, it's all very fair, and it's so hard because you're trying to figure out the system to make it as efficient as possible to balance everything. And I don't know if that, like, if there's a way to make the YouTube show like the pinnacle thing, so then you know your ability to chop the 45 minute YouTube show into TikTok segments, and then you just pull the audio off of the YouTube show and throw that on a podcast. I mean, there's got to be a way to do it, and it's not going to be easy, and you're not going to figure it out tomorrow or 3 months. It's going to be another, like, it's serious. It's like a year grind of trying to figure that out until you actually have the system in place. But it's there, and you got there, followers, dude. And I believe in you. I know you'll figure it out.
I have some things in the works that I can't talk about.
We can't spill the tea on that.
I can't,
but you'll find out in like the next few months. But I have like ideas in the works coming to life. So I'm hoping that like by 2022, my platform will be in a different place. So I have some exciting things coming.
That's sweet. If you ever need help with podcast production and outsourcing some of your pains, we'd be happy to put it on for you. So
I had a podcast actually for a hot second. I really enjoyed it, but it just sucked because you guys know it's a very demanding thing, and I like have never truly felt burnout mode until I tried doing a corporate job, a podcast, TikTok, and Instagram like all in one, and I was like, my mental health was not there. So I had to unfortunately end that, but I hope to bring it back into my life soon.
Sick.
That's, well, speaking time. On, yeah, you're not going to go away, and that's the coolest part. You're going to continuously you're going to continuously to plug away and figure it out, trial and error, ebbs and flows, strikes and gutters. And with that, Jordan, I'd love to hear, what's your average quality throughout this last year? What is something that you have been tirelessly working at that you're not the best at, but you deeply care about, this habit, attribute, emotion, whatever it may be, and you'll tag it as an average quality because you're looking to improve on it?
Oh gosh, I forgot you guys asked this question. I don't know how I missed this, because like, I'm not kidding you. When I listened to the first podcast like 3 years ago, I actually like was like, maybe one day they'll ask me that, I'll be able to come up with an answer. Obviously it was very different back then because I wasn't doing any of this. An average quality. I honestly feel like just talking. Like I can talk to a camera by myself in my room, but just like learning how to communicate with people like in person is difficult. So or just like getting my, I don't know. I know that sounds stupid, but just honestly like figuring out how to communicate. I ramble a lot. So I think it's because I do it every day, but that's like a quality that seems average, but I need to work on every day.
That's a phenomenal answer, honestly, because if you listen to your first TikTok versus the last TikTok and like how much better you are at communicating your point just from a sheer volume of words, it's insane. Like listening to the first Back Pocket episode and like how disgusting and terrible we were.
Right. I'm not like, to you guys, but like it's scary.
Just in general. Yeah, no, you can call us terrible. That's what it was. And that's the whole point though, is like, it's a craft for a reason. There's plenty of people better than us to talking on a podcast, and there's plenty of people that are worse. You're definitely going to be like, we're all average in that sense. So it's just funny. Yeah. Like it's good that you picked something that you, again, that Andrew alluded to, that you care about, because it's like, you want to get better at talking. That's absolutely critical to your growth. But you don't think you're the best at talking. You don't think you're really, really good at it. You actually think you're kind of on the lower end or somewhere in the middle where you're scrambling to try and get better and better. So like when you talked about, oh, it's not about the story. It's about giving the people what they want in the first 3 seconds. Like to me, that tells me that you are focusing very keenly on how you're communicating, which is, like I said, phenomenal average quality.
Thank you. Yeah. You couldn't pay me to listen to my first TikToks or really any of them. I hate, I mean, could you guys listen to your podcast? Like, do you ever?
Well, that's really funny. Dex getting really close to the mic because he's listened to every single one of our podcasts. And I can honestly say I've listened to probably 10% of our podcasts. Because Declan's show, he started by show noting every single one and like, and putting timestamps on important parts and funny parts so that we can clip it out for further use. And then he's just gotten in a great habit of listening to it and getting better. Where I'm similar to you, Jordan. After I get done with this, I will edit the audio. I'll scrub through it, make sure the peaks and ebbs are like all good. And I'm not coming back.
Yep. My friends will like play my TikToks just to piss me off. And I'm literally like, you guys, I'm going to throw your phone at the wall if I have to hear my voice for a second longer. I can't handle it.
My brother would do the same thing at like a Thanksgiving dinner of like an Instagram story of mine. And it's actually traumatizing.
Literally, they do it just to make me mad. Or we'll be in front of like a new group of people and they'll be like, Jordan's on TikTok, and they'll play my video. And I'm like, I'm actually going to kill you if I have to listen to this.
Isn't that so funny when you like contextualize like the thing you create in reality that like all of a sudden it's like a burden?
Yes. Oh yeah. And we all hate the sound of our own voices. And
I've gotten over it though. After 300 episodes of listening to us talk, I finally like, I know the good and the bad, you know. What I found is it's better for me not to talk all in general. Just if I stay out of it, it's more entertaining for me to listen back. But yeah, no, it's no matter how many times you do it, it still kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Well, that gets us to our next core question. And this is a staple. You already alluded to it earlier in the episode. What is in your back pocket when pressure becomes stress and anxiety is rising? What do you use in your back pocket to overcome these situations?
So can this be like a quote? Like, does it have to be like physical or tangible? Like, can it be a saying
quotes,
or a
quotes
quote?
Definitely play in this regard.
Okay. I've been actually thinking about this for a while.
3 years potentially. Honestly, since August 15th of 2019 when Ross Heyman came on and you were a part of it.
Wait, that episode, was August 15th?
August 15th, 2019, episode 151. I looked it up while we were talking.
It's that's August almost, 17th.
That's so crazy. It's almost exactly 2 years ago.
Oh, I fucked it up. April 15th.
Ah.
Oh, I was going to say, that's so cool.
I know.
April's all right, cool
August 15th.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure August. I wasn't at Aeon at that time anymore, but that makes sense. April. Okay, so this quote I live by, and it's simple. Everyone's heard it. It's comparison is the thief of joy. And every time, I don't know if have you guys heard that? Some people, like my parents, were like, oh, I've never heard that before. Did you come up with that? That's great. And I'm like, I thought everyone knew that quote. But maybe not. Maybe it's like a TikTok quote. Oh, so it must have came from TikTok. So it's comparison is a thief of joy. And it pretty much just shows, like, if you ever compare yourself, you're taking joy from your life. And I feel like for people like us in this space or everyday people, you're constantly comparing yourself and wishing you were that person with 10 more followers than you, that person with a million more followers than you, or that person with the better job. And every time you're comparing yourself, you're completely taking the joy out of everything that you're doing in your life. And I get a lot of anxiety from that. So whenever I'm just like hard on myself or just like feeling anxious that I haven't grown enough or I'm not doing enough, I'm like, I just have to remember that and be like, okay, everyone's on their own journey. We'll get to where we're supposed to be in our own time. And like that quote has just like changed my life. And I learned that probably like 8 months ago from TikTok.
Dude, that's a great quote.
That, isn't it great?
I've never heard of that, and I'm going to remember that now. Comparison is the thief of joy. Like, yeah. It's perfect. It's pure.
It's kind of like a tongue twister. Like, at first you're like, wait, what did you just say? And then you're like, oh, wait, no. Comparison is the thief of joy. Like, comparing is going to take away joy.
It's the simplicity. Yeah. Live by it. The simplicity of that is what rocks. Mm-hmm. And I was so I just started this new job, like I said, and I'm able to ride my bike to work because I'm here in Northeast and it's in North Loop, and it takes me about 8 minutes to ride my bike. And I'm riding my bike home. It's like 6:30. I'm recording this podcast 7:30, and the sun's coming down. It's right over the Minneapolis Hennepin Bridge. And talk about comparison as the thief of joy. I threw comparison straight out of the window, and I was like, my life fucking rocks. I am so happy with what I've been able to create and what I've been able to do with Declan, to do what I love during the day and then come home and do what I love as well. You know, the time and energy, it's a grind, and figuring out the balance of all that. It's a trial and error process, but at the end of the day, I love what I do, and I could care less in comparison to what everyone else is doing. But right now, in this very moment, I'm stoked to be in this position.
I truly think you just unlocked the key to like internal happiness. I truly believe if the day you can say that you're like content and happy with your own life and also happy with other people's lives who are doing better than yours is like a true day of like, you will be happy going forward. That's another big thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Cherishing other people's wins and not trying to put down other people's wins or trying to use it as a comparison tool for yourself, like you're saying.
Yeah. That's like huge. Like truly being happy for other people's success is that will change your life forever the moment you can do that.
Yeah. I think it comes a lot back to like gratitude too, because, you know, we're talking about looking at people's lives who are perceived way better than yours. So you can compare, and then that's going to take away from what you have. But there's also another aspect of like kind of looking around and being like, dang, I have it a lot better than a lot of other people. And I could be in a much worse situation if I needed to. And I think like just watching people kind of come and go within life even, and just knowing that like, oh man, like my life could be like taken away out of, even though I'm so young, like, that could just be removed altogether. Like, I'm just glad to even be here type thing. That's like a very baseline, like input of gratitude, but you could also compare yourself to all kinds of different things. It's funny because comparison can be a thief of joy, but comparison can also be an amplification of joy. Like,
true, that is really
if
true.
You could, if you compare yourself to someone who like is struggling to get food every day, or like someone who maybe just passed away, or, you know, whatever the situation is, it's like, damn, like I'm pretty stoked that I got what I got going on. You know, it's a weird complex, but at the end of the day, it's kind of just a balance of everything.
Oh yeah. And I think like with the saying too, it's, I think people just like take comparing as like a negative term, but yes, you're right. Like positivity definitely can come out of it too. And like, sometimes like you're not comparing always from a negative standpoint. Like some people just like need that mm-hmm. push or better this or that, but for me, when I compare, it's usually negative. So that's why I'm like, it's a good quote that I need to keep with me every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think that's like the best way to do it. And it's, I obviously challenged it. Gotta be honest. I just, you know, uncovered something I didn't really thought I was going to say. So sorry, but you can look at it two different ways, which I think is kind of cool, but it's also kind of challenging. So with that, I do want to ask like, who would you challenge us to get on the podcast, or like who is a maybe, just because like we're a production company now as well, Who would you challenge us? Is there any you listeners out there that need a podcast? Obviously besides yourself, but like, are there any you listeners out there that need a podcast or that we should have on the podcast?
So I was trying to think if there was anyone I knew in Minnesota that had like a large platform. And unfortunately, like, and this is just from like me being mainly in like the tea entertainment space, I like just don't know a lot of people who have like platforms in the Midwest, which is kind of like a bummer. And I'm sure as soon as I hang up with you guys, I'm like, oh, that'd be so sick. But it'd be cool if you guys could get like a Midwest U-lister. I'm trying to like think of people who are like really famous from the Midwest. Have you guys ever heard of, I think they're just called like the Hockey Boys. They're all from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa, I believe. But they have like a million followers. They have their own podcasts. They're like the only people I can think of that are like from this area with a very large following.
Do they rollerblade around grocery stores?
Probably. I think so.
I may have seen this. I think
or Piff. Yes. Piff would be a cool person. I think it'd be cool if you got like a true, like actual, like famous Midwest U-lister. Someone with like a million followers or something.
Right. Absolutely.
That'd be sick.
That'd be really cool. I think Or Bryce Hall. Or Bryce Hall. We are in the U-lister industry. Like,
you are.
Honestly, it's so funny because, you know, I think we produce like 7 to 8 different podcasts now, including our own. And
that's insane.
Yeah, I know. It's been 8 months and we've basically picked up either a new client per month or just had different opportunities come across each other every 4 to 5 weeks, which is pretty cool. Yeah. But the people that like have the best response or the ones that we like fit the most are obviously like the people who understand like why they're getting into podcasting and like they understand branding and everything like that. Now we have a bunch of clients who like don't even care about that stuff at all. But the ones who do are like the U-lister type people, like have a brand, need to extend into something else to help with longevity because they want to stay in the industry. And like, we believe that like podcasting is part of that roadmap essentially. So it's 100%. Like the U-lister type people, like even if they're not in Minnesota, honestly, we've started to produce people remotely and basically just take care of all their backend stuff and help them organize like what their set would look like. We're taking on a couple of U-lister clients in that regard. So the sky is kind of the limit for us. And honestly, Andrew and I would probably prefer it that way because
it's just a lot like T&E to get our equipment on site and record and be in person. If we can figure out if we can communicate how to hire someone that can be a producer on site and upload files for us to then edit is best case scenario. Cause then now we're living a remote lifestyle. And that's the goal at the end of the day for Deck and I is to be completely remote and work from anywhere, wherever, and have a virtual space. Just like how we led into this podcast. We don't want to be tied down to Minneapolis or Declan and down 50 miles west in Tonopah, Arizona. Like tied down out there. We're ready to be virtual.
That's cool though too, because I feel like being surrounded by people with, like I said, that U-lister, like the influencer mind, or anyone that just kind of wants to create a brand on their own, like people with that brain, they're so fun to be around. And if you guys can surround yourself with people like that, like the energy you just like bounce off with, even like talking to just you two, I'm like, I feel like motivated to want to like start trying different things out, or I feel like I can do more things after talking to you guys. Like I just love people with like this type of mindset.
Yeah. It's like working in a nice co-working space with a bunch of people who give a shit, you know? There's a way to replicate that in a million different ways. And there's no reason that I wouldn't fly out to New York and like set everything up or like roll through a podcast or two, or like I would take that time and energy to do that, to make sure it's right. And then like, who's to say I need to be there every single time? Like there's an aspect to like travel in general to our arsenal now too, which is like something that we're really just trying to manifest now. And for you, it's a matter of time. And for us, it's a matter of time. It's just cool to like be able to document the moment of like us being on the cusp of like something pretty big.
Yeah. Also, like they said, manifesting is real.
Totally real.
100%.
All my manifestations are right here that you can kind of see. Actually, you can't see.
I can't see. It's all blue. But in your iPhone video, I'm sure we can see.
Yeah.
Are they post-it notes?
Yeah. And like, I'm not kidding you. We don't have to get into this because we'll probably take conversation very far. I wrote 5 manifestations a few months ago and they're all coming true.
Congratulations.
Crazy.
That's awesome. That's freaking awesome.
Manifesting is real.
Is there one manifest that you'd like to share that you have successfully executed on?
Yes, actually. So one of them was they all kind of are similar, but one of them was like, I'm so grateful to have found my dream career and moved to New York City by 2021. And I'm moving to New York in 2 weeks and I'm getting into my dream career. So like sick. I wrote that I'm moving to New York in May, and then in June I got a job and plan to move.
Look at that.
It's real. I'm a firm believer. I could go off on manifestation all day. I'm a firm believer.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That's all that the three of us right here, we're going to be consistent. We're not going away. I've been saying it. I'll say it for years. We're not going away. We'll figure it out. Jordan, this has been an incredible time. I thoroughly enjoyed catching up with you. It's been 2 years and a couple months since you sat behind the camera during that Ross podcast, and we stayed in touch loosely ever since. But to have you on today and share this podcast was really cool.
Yes, thank you for having me. And honestly, just seeing you guys grow has been so cool. So I'm excited to see where you guys continue to go. And maybe I'll see you in New York.
Dude, we'll make it happen. Absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
I want to get... So where are you staying? Where you be? What borough?
It's called like Midtown East. So it's like, I don't want to like... Is this still recording? So I was like, I'll tell you guys where
Yeah, you don't have to give us your address. We have one final question. So we're still recording, but
I live in Midtown on the east side.
And we'll leave it at that.
Yep. Okay. Don't want to tell people where I live.
Right. Yeah. No, that it could get too specific.
Yes.
Okay. So final question. From the time you woke up this morning to the time we're recording now, which is 9:08 PM Central. Jordan, what have you learned today?
Gosh, what have I learned today? Okay, so I had like a really cool call today that I unfortunately can't get into. So I would say that like no dream is impossible, because it was pretty much like my dream phone call I had that I never thought would happen. So like your dreams can happen. Don't let anyone ever tell you that, because a dream of mine did happen today, and it was very surreal.
That's badass.
I will say you're very good at not spilling your own tea.
sometimes you like actually can't.
Yes.
So I actually can't, but also I'm usually really bad at keeping secrets of my own stuff. I keep my friend's secrets like a vault, but yeah. Sometimes there's something that's like you legally can't talk about.
Right. That's cool. As long as you have like legally bound tea, like that's dope. we're never gonna force you to spill anything you can't spill. We trust.
You'll be able to tell soon.
Right, exactly. I hope to one day be a source of yours. Put it that way.
I love it.
Right on. Thanks, Jordan. You're the best.
Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap.
Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah. We're in trouble. Wrote a pop song, tried to pop off, but I think we popped the bubble. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't. Triple coverage. Had it mapped out, but you spaced out. Man, you didn't see it coming. Yeah. Hold my luggage. About to fly up, holding my cup, looking down and seeing nothing. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. No, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't.